B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die.
Since day one, you had a feeling that the city was going to fall in love with them. People started like recognizing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I could die.
Since day one, you had a feeling that the city was going to fall in love with them. People start like recognize that, hey, man, they fight all the way to the end.
Pretty privileged to be able to watch what Nathan Eovaldi just did. That was the most incredible pitching performance I've ever seen.
Pierce hits one in the air to left center field. Back at the wall, there will be no zero. Pierce has got another. 2-0 Boston in the first.
Let's go Red Sox.
Since day one, you guys bought into the concept. From day one, we were a family. And I'm proud of you guys.
From the top on down, here comes a 1-2 pitch.
.985 The Sports Hub, Kutcher and Rich. Kevin Millar and Chris Rose will kick off MLB Network's 12 straight hours of live opening day coverage with Intentional Talk coming up at 9 this morning on MLB Network. And Kevin joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Millar.
Boys, if you didn't get fired up for that, then you know what? You might want to just turn the radio off.
That's right, baby. Mm-hmm. Getting people fired up. All right, so you played a while. At what point in your career were you able to, do whatever you want during spring training? That you didn't feel like that you could take it easy?
You didn't have to shag?
Yeah.
You know what's funny, man? My role, honestly, God, I don't think I ever got to that point. because it always felt like I was having to battle for every inch to be in that uniform because I couldn't field, throw, run, hit, or, you know, or do any of the stuff. But honest to God, the Red Sox 03-04 kind of, you know, was probably that time. You know, the Marlins, I spent first 5 years there. You kind of, it was just different. I always say this. Teams that don't win much have more stuff to do in spring training. Winning teams, you kind of go through the motions because you know what to get, you know, it takes to kind of win. But if you noticed, all the teams that don't win, they're winning 58 to 65 games. They're out there taking, you know, infield, outfield, and early BP and early work, and catchers are throwing second base throughout the season. And you look at Sox Nation, we're kind of half shirted out and ready to roll. But 7:05, it's a fun night.
All right, so this is going to be once again, it's such a strange offseason because they're going into this year without a closer. However, every time Alex Cora does something or that just makes you shake your head, or Dave Dombrowski, and these decisions were made at the end of the season that everyone's like, this is not going to work. It ended up working. So do you question this team going in without a definitive closer, or do you think this is something that they could actually pull off?
I think they'll have a closer. I just think that fans-wise, city-wise, they don't have the big-name, $100 million name sitting in the bullpen. Obviously, Craig Kimbrell is a security blanket, is a great closer, and it's a huge part of your team. I don't think you can go the entire year without having a bona fide name back there. Now, that being said, guys make names for themselves, you know? So you got to – they have some power arms out there. They're going to mix and match a little bit. We'll see how the season goes, and hopefully our offense out blasts the late inning games. But there's going to be times where, you know, there's going to be blown saves, and then all of a sudden here comes the radio shows, and like I said, the fans, they'll have a closer if things get like that.
All right, Kevin, they extended Chris Sale. Obviously, we know Sale struggles at the end of seasons, and they've tried different ways to keep him fresh, and they haven't seemed to work. What did you think of that extension?
I love the extension. You know why? Because you got a guy that wants to pitch there, wants to be there, has the makeup to pitch there. People forget about that. It's a big factor. It's not just your best players go sign a free agent. You have to get guys that have the makeup. You look at Chris Sale. He has the makeup, you know, with a Boston guy. And honest to God, I mean, you saw, you know, when he's healthy and on the mound, he's unhittable. He's like a kid in Milwaukee, the Josh Hader. There's just a different uniqueness to go with Chris Sale, and guys love him, teammates love him. I'm sure behind the scenes, you know, they do their research that way, and the extension is great. The money's there, or they're not paying it. So it's not like, oh my God, the Red Sox are going broke. I like the extension. You want Chris Sale on your staff.
Okay, with all the extensions given out, and Jacob DeGrom just got one, and I think there's about $1 billion spent in the last 10 days on extensions for star ball players. How much is a guy like Mookie Betts worth in a couple of years?
Well, he's turned down $200 million, we've heard.
Yes.
So, I mean, the money now, it's almost scary, right? It's players can't say a word about they're not paying anybody because they are paying a lot of people, whether they're extending them or signing big free agent contracts that we haven't seen before. Mookie Betts, I mean, you could put Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Bryce Harper, who's better, who's this? He's going to fall right in that situation. So whatever it is, between $300 and $400 million now, you know, and are we ever going to see the $500 million? If Mike Trout didn't get it, probably not, because Mike Trout's done this for 7 straight years. Mookie Betts is a tremendous, tremendous player, and once his resume fills up, yeah, is he going to be the first $500 million player? I have no idea.
All right, so here's a question that I want to ask you as someone who has played there before. Fenway Park is an interesting place. There's so much history, and everyone obviously loves that it's, you know, one of the oldest ballparks, but there's some seats that face the outfield, and the seating is wildly uncomfortable in certain places.
The ballpark for fans sucks.
Would you support at any point them either redoing Fenway Park or moving Fenway Park or some sort of way to improve the Fenway Park experience for fans?
No, I think that's what you got to embrace. These seats with, when you sit down, there's a big green pole on your face. I mean,
you don't have to sit really in them, though. That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, Millar, when was the last time you tried fitting yourself in one of those seats?
You basically could stand on the dugout the whole game.
you're right. I had to do an interview one time. I'm like, oh my god, are these how thick the chairs are? I can't believe it. And now I go ahead and steal Tom Warner seats down below, folks. That come
yeah,
to
right. Park yourself in section 3 and then come back and talk to us.
Right.
Well, you invite me one day. I'm coming there. I want to have the seat right behind the big green pole. But I just think it's the experience of Fenway Park. It's just the scene. You don't want it new. Everything's new these days, right? You have Wrigley and you have Fenway that are surviving somehow. And it's just every park is gorgeous, every single one of them. But I still love that old school feel of just that it's been there since Ted Williams. And I don't know, man. I haven't sat in those seats a whole lot. So I understand and feel your complaints, but I think you got to embrace it.
But you don't care because it has no effect on you.
What? Because you gotta get you're gonna get a beer and a hot dog. You should by the third beer, you should even know what you're looking at anyway.
By the third beer, I've given up half my kids' college fund. So.
Right. That's the truth.
More than any other ballpark.
That is the Fenway experience.
Yep.
You leave broke and
$40, $45 to park,
facing right field.
Yep.
Hey, true story. I went to the Cubs game. I had my boys, you know, we're watching John Lackey pitch in the World Series. So I'm like, I'm sitting in the stands. This is great. I got five kids, you know, his child also. And I go, yeah, I'll take some bottled water over here. The bottled water were $8 a piece. Yeah. It cost me, $40 to get five bottled waters. I'm like, is this what fans have to go through? This is baloney. Like, I started getting mad. I'm like, this is bull.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is.
All right, Kevin, obviously the Red Sox, a historic season last year. They run the table. They were dominant in the playoffs. They win the World Series. They got just about everybody back outside of the bullpen, and I keep reading that a lot of people are picking the Yankees to win the division this year despite their injury problems and the Red Sox to win the wild card. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree. I just did my predictions about 10 minutes before I got on this call, and I have the Red Sox winning the West. I mean, the East, period, end of story. We like change. It's fun to do that. First of all, it's hard to repeat. Let's get that straight. Sure. It's hard to repeat a World Series. So the Red Sox are winning a World Series. The odds are going to say no. They have everybody back. But to win a championship, everything has to be right. It's just like what the Astros did in 17. They had the same team come back, but things just happened. Right? And they had a remarkable run last year. Can they repeat? 100%. Do I think they're the best team in the East? I really do, and I truly believe that. Are the Yankees good? You darn right they're good. Fifth inning on, they're the best in the big leagues with Brewers, you know, with their bullpen. But I like the Red Sox squad. I love their chemistry. I love what Alex Cora does. Aaron Boone's done a great job down there, but Red Sox win the East.
All right, Kevin Molaro, it's always a good time. He and Chris Rose will kick off MLB Network's 12 straight hours of live opening day coverage with intentional talk coming up at 9 this morning on the MLB Network. Thank you so much for the time, Mr. Millar.
Boys, let's go get a beer and a hot dog, and I'll go join you in those seats.
Got to knock over a bank
okay,
first.
I don't hear you.
Bring your platinum card.
Jesus.
That's never going to happen.
See you, man.
All right, thank you.
We'll talk to
you
soon, all right, boys.
See all right, take it easy.
I mean, it's like Yankee Stadium survived. I mean, that was historic. They got a new stadium. You know what? Go to San Francisco and go see a baseball game
it's
there.
Beautiful.
And just sit down
beautiful
and just
ballpark.
Go, this is what this could be.
Honest to God, you go to Pittsburgh. You've been to the one in Pittsburgh, right, Fred?
Yes.
You've been to PNC Park. I've not been there. I'm told it is the best ballpark in the majors, scene-wise and seating-wise. I've been to the one in San Francisco. It's phenomenal. I love going to that place.
And for as much as they ripped off the taxpayers, I have friends who have gone to that new Braves stadium, and they're just
right.
Like, you don't want to see a game anywhere else.
Really?
No, I'll never forgive them for getting rid of Turner Field.
Which is what, 20 years old?
Yeah.
That was it, and they got rid of it?
Well, now it's like a Georgia State, I think they use it, which,
yes.
By the way, I didn't even know Georgia State had a football team.
Yes, Georgia State just, plays at Turner Field.
Okay. They just got it. They just got it a little
while ago. There you go. Yeah. They'll pack it out then.
All right, so I was in... All right. It's going to be just like UMass at Gillette. I went on vacation to Turks and Caicos, and therefore I was humiliated, of course, and have bruises and a cracked Adam's apple, essentially.
Oh.
I can tell you all about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Apparently, Dan Roach is joining us at 9:20-ish.
He's up from Seattle.
He's up. Has just tweeted out the Red Sox opening day lineup. And
which was public knowledge before, by the way.
And at 5:20 in the morning, he has done so.
An hour he comes on with us.
He was tweeting this morning at 4 o'clock our time. Oh, so, I mean, when's he sleeping? He's not sleeping.
No.
What I think is fantastic, however, is when I texted him to come on the show, which will be on at 9:20, he said, absolutely, and he just texted me a picture of a baseball. Like, it was in his car. Just, he took a photo. I was like, look, I'm so ready for baseball. I'm holding a baseball.
Yeah, he gets a kick out of that. He loves to let you know that he's got a baseball on him.
Did you see the photo he tweeted this morning of him right next to Alex Cora?
No.
I don't.
Oh, I mean, it's like...
It's a selfie. It's a selfie of the two of them together.
It says, happy
like
opening
headshots.
Day,
headshots,
man.
Yeah. I mean, the man is not acting. He legitimately loves it.
That's true. That is true. And I need some of that. I need some of that this morning at 9:20. We'll have him on.
Yes, indeed. As I did not realize it was opening day until yesterday afternoon. But I was over there in Turks and Caicos with my wife as my parents took care of the children. Apparently, they also broke the kitchen sink. So so it's my the clogging toilets. They broke the driver's side seat of my car. And broke the kitchen sink. So, a very nice place here in Turks and Caicos. And what you do as you get older is that you want to schedule some activity so you're basically not just sitting around drinking all day, you get bored.
Yep.
So, a month out from a vacation, 2 months out from vacation, you're thinking, oh yeah, but you know, I'll get into that, and we'll go out and we'll share some adventures.
Yeah.
So you know, we did a sunset cruise, and you go on a catamaran, and this, and then as things got closer to the trip, there was this 2-hour paddleboarding excursion, and I had said on the air I was a little iffy on the whole thing, but everyone knows I like to get mellow and get out on the old PB.
Sure.
And take care of business.
That's the old YOLO board, right? Where you stand on it
you don't even know. But I had never done it in the sea. So we get to the place, and it's this dude, and it's my wife, this girl, and I, who have all paddleboarded before, and then it's these three people who have never done it before. So I'm like, I'm a hot rod.
Right. You're not the rookie here.
Like, I mean, come on. And they're asking me, like, how hard is it? I'm like, don't worry about it. I ain't a thang. So he goes, like, go off into this little area by the dock and just get up and practice. So I get up on the paddleboard and immediately start shaking and fall off. So now I'm the only one who's fallen off, including the people that have never done it before. Mm-hmm. So now I'm starting to panic. Because everyone's looking at, it's like a worse nightmare. Like, everyone's looking at me, and I'm panicking. And the guy's like, come here, Fred. You know, come here. Like, let's do this. And, like...
It's like playing golf with a guy who sucks and refuses to pick up his ball. Like, he needs to go find every shot that he shanks in the woods.
No, it's like a guy just... Like, he's on me. Like, leave me alone. Like, you know, stop, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I've done this before. So now I'm incredibly nervous. And then, so I get up, and everyone's looking at me, and I get up, and I go a little bit, and he's like, come over here. And there's all this, like, traffic. There's 6 people, 7 including him, and we're all going around, and it's all very, we're clanging into each other. And he's like, watch out for the boat. And I'm like, idiot. And he's like, stroke this way, stroke this. And he's in my head, and then I'm like, ah. So I fall again. Now I don't want to be there. Now I don't like this.
We haven't even started yet. So I don't want to be there. And I tell Stephanie, I want to do this. And he's like, come on, Fred, we can get you a kayak or something. And I said, all right. You know, usually when faced with adversity, you end up doing it. And then at the end, you feel a sense of pride and that you have done something.
Sure.
You know, and then you look back and you go, you know what? That was tough, but I got through it. Mm-hmm. So in order to get to the mangroves, we got to paddle through this bay. And I'd say the bay is probably about 500 yards. So I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is a wind. And now, when you fall in salt water, you ingest the salt water. So I'm in the mangroves. I fall forward. I have a big bruise on it. I rip that, and then I hit my Adam's apple on the front of the board. And now I'm pissed.
Ooh, okay. So you go chin up, neck straight down in a corner?
Yeah.
Oh. So was it tough to breathe? You get hit the Adam's apple. I think that's got to be tough to breathe.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that. I'll get to that. So I get up again, and I go, okay, now we're in these mangroves. It will be easy. Like he's like, they cut the wind, and he's telling everyone. So I'm up, and I'm pushing, and I'm pushing, and I can't get anywhere. So I fall in again. I go, I'm not doing this anymore. I go, I'm going back. But I got to go back 500 yards to the dock.
Yeah.
So he's like, do you need any help? I go, no. And so Stephanie and I start going. I start vomiting all over the place.
Whoa. Like in front of everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I start vomiting. I'm a 44-year-old man. There's like 12-year-old girls that are like up on the boards. And I'm a 44-year-old man. And I'm vomiting everywhere. I can't even stand on my knees on the board because I'm vomiting and falling off, swallowing more water and vomiting. So I'm vomiting, falling, and thereby ingesting more and more seawater and throwing up everywhere. So I physically can't get back up on the board anymore because I'm vomiting so much.
And immediately everyone just speeds up to be way the hell ahead of you.
Oh, yeah. I can't see any of them now.
Right. The minute they hear the gurgling.
So I'm like, I can get back to 500 yards. No, I can't. So Stephanie's like, I think Fred needs some help. So the dude's like, well, can you get up, buddy? Like, hey, buddy, can you get up?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no. So he goes, all right, grab my leash and I'll paddle you in.
So the one that is tied to your leg, right?
Yes.
So like on a surfboard, grab my leash and I'll tow you in. Oh. So you're like the inner tube on the back of the boat that gets dragged around.
Now, from my understanding, when they... The towing in is for little children. This is not something that happens to men.
No.
This is not something that happens to men. And while he's towing me, I'm vomiting all over the place. Clear salt water. Just vomiting salt water. And then he goes, can you make it from here? And I'm like, I can make it from here. So then I get in. And there's all these dudes like moving kayaks around and stuff. And they're like, are you okay? I could hear you vomiting out there. Sorry. And it wasn't like I was hungover.
No.
Or my stomach hurt beforehand. I took a picture. I put it on Instagram at Fred Toucher. It's my wife and I in the van getting there. I feel good. I'm going to, you know, rock it a little bit with the board. And now everyone's asking if I need water.
Do you need a doctor?
They didn't ask if I need a doctor, but do you need water? I go into the shack where you got the stuff, and they're like, we've called a car for you. Are you okay?
Oh, my God.
And all because I went 500 yards on a paddleboard. I had to be towed in by another adult male.
So, oh, God. So the vomiting was a result of you hitting your throat and ingesting all of that salt water?
Yeah. I told you this story before when I went spearfishing with my friend mm-hmm. and this girl I liked.
I ingested so much salt water. Long story short, we couldn't get the boat started, but I made it back because I was a younger man. I made it back to my friend's parents' house, and I threw up so much salt water that it filled the toilet, and I had flushed the toilet and then throw up again.
Ooh, and that's the kind, salt water's got a burn coming up, too.
But, well, the worst thing ever is I'm, like, having trouble standing on this thing. I've swallowed so much salt water that I'm, like, dying of thirst.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one's got any water. So it's like, so I'm starting to think it's like the Tom Hanks movie.
Castaway.
Like, I'm starting literally to go, like, I'm going to die out here. And I never have that feeling. I'm like, I could die out here. And, like, with the throwing up and the being thirsty and the being out of it, how many times in your life would you accept a tow from another man?
Oh, man.
I've never done anything like that in my life.
There has been times when I first started skiing where I got on, like, a run, and I'm like, dude, this is way too high for me. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to survive this. And I look over, and I see the ski patrol, and they've got their little sled. And the first thing I'm like is like, well, I got to go down on that because I can't do this. But there's that thing inside of you that goes, you could essentially cut off my balls then. Then I've just given up as a man.
But
if I sit in that sled and I let them take me down.
But I physically, like, couldn't do it. Because everything in me was like, all right, I'm just going to go. Because making the decision to go back was, like, hard enough.
Right.
Then, what, you know how when you got diarrhea and you get into the bathroom and, like, you immediately have to go to the bathroom, like, real bad?
Yeah.
Like, the minute I decided to quit the trip, it was like running to the toilet when you have to vomit and vomiting all over the bathroom.
So it's in Friends Vacation is more like John Candy than Tom Hanks.
Listen.
You've gone into the, what was the name of that movie with John Candy?
I don't know.
The vacation one?
Oh, The Great Outdoors.
No, not The Great Outdoors. Summer Rental.
Summer Rental.
You're
having
more of a Summer Rental.
One of the most depressing movies of all time. So that was my big, excursion.
Oh, jeez, man.
I mean, and I look back on it, I get douche chills.
Someone said, when we get a GoPro on your paddleboard?
If, I'll tell you this, I've humiliated myself a million times for this show. I wouldn't have played that video.
Okay.
Like, I'm that embarrassed.
Right.
Like, we've had
it. How long was the tow? Like, how much time did it take?
I mean, not
because on,
like,
a paddleboard, that's got to take a while.
No. The guy was, like, super strong. It's just the very idea that I needed it. And, like, he wanted to give me so many opportunities not to take it. But I really thought I wasn't going to make it. And you don't have a life preserver on.
No, you're just kind of floating.
Yeah.
Were you kicking your feet and trying to help
him out? Yeah, because at one point I was holding the board and trying to get, like, kick my feet in. Oh, it was absolutely humiliating. The worst.
Sounds like an island paradise.
I got back to the hotel. I shut my eyes and fell asleep for 5 hours.
At least, did you sleep on your side? Make sure you didn't have a...
I don't know. All my wife probably did was look around and have sex with another guy. All right. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Tutcher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, this has been an interesting week out in Arizona with the owners' meetings. And, you know, Fred, as you know, the big story was going to be originally about Robert Kraft, and then all of a sudden the Rob Gronkowski news came out, and that delayed that. And I think it was Tommy Curran who actually asked Stacey James, the PR guy from the Patriots, was this a coordinated effort in order to keep the stink off of what's going on so Robert Kraft wouldn't have to speak on it in the early days of this, in the first day or two. And, of course, he denied that that was the case. However, there's been a lot of other news that have come out since then. By the way, Gerard Mayo is going to be back as a linebacker's coach. And it was kind of funny because Aqib Talib, after that announcement, he put on Instagram, he goes, dope, let me be your DB's coach in a couple years when you're the head coach. The one thing about Gerard Mayo is that he's got the persona to eventually become a head coach. He's a guy.
I don't know why he left television.
Well,
he was very good at television.
He was great, but probably
it's
because...
an itch you can't scratch. There's no reason for him to go and pull 18-hour days now for 9 months.
You're crazy. Hang on. Stop. Stop. He's not making anywhere near on TV on a local NBC sports station
He was doing other things too, right?
No, I thought that he should... I'm not where he's at now, but I thought he had the ability to go be one of the 5 billion people that's on one of the networks.
Maybe, but is he a big enough name...
I mean,
to go to some place like NBC, like, you know, like the big NBC or Fox.
Well,
or like
NFL
that.
Network has got like Willie McGinnis.
But Willie McGinnis is like, I mean, Hall of Famer. You know, Gerard Mayo, as good as he was, is not Willie McGinnis.
Willie McGinnis isn't a Hall of Famer. Willie McGinnis isn't in the Hall of Fame. He's probably in the Pats Hall of
he's
Fame.
He's a Patriots
Absolutely
Hall of Fame.
In the Patriots Hall
but he's,
of Fame.
But he's someone whose numbers would justify at least a conversation about it. Gerard Mayo, I don't believe, is even in the conversation for the Hall of Fame. You agree with that, right?
No, yes.
I just want to make sure. So I don't think he's one of those guys that would be in line for a major network thing. However, many people aren't surprised that he's going into coaching, and a lot of people think that he's got that thing that apparently Brian Flores has, just the ability to connect with the players. And being an ex-player, he's immediately got the respect. And as he's been on the show, and you've seen him on TV, he's excellent. So he's a great communicator. He just happens to – and you know he would kill any interview that he went to. And if you're working with the Patriots, then you obviously, you know how it is. I mean, everyone gets hired.
There's a learning curve. I played in the same defense. He can teach the linebackers, no problem.
You turn down a bunch of jobs until no one wants you anymore.
Maybe that's the case. Or you say yes to one, and then you leave him at the altar. However, there's this guy named Joel Klatt of Fox Sports who says there might be a certain team right down the street from us who might want to be dealing with another team before the draft in order to get the heir apparent to Tom Brady. Here's what he had to say.
There are three teams that I have heard and I know are very interested in Josh Rosen, and that's New England, that's the New York Giants, and that's the LA Chargers. And one of those have already offered a second round pick.
It better not be New England. Josh Rosen would be a disaster in New England.
Yeah. This is Big J, as Colin says it. Those are the three teams that have expressed some interest. Mm-hmm. There is one of those that has offered firmly a second round pick for Josh Rosen. Arizona is waiting for a first. I don't think they'll get it.
They're not getting it.
But right now, there's a second round pick on the table. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get moved.
Are you ready for the Josh Rosen era in Foxborough, ladies and gentlemen?
If you have multiple second round picks and Josh Rosen was, what, top 10 selection?
Top 10, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, why not fly one? It makes all the sense in the world. Does he say why Josh Rosen would be a disaster in New England?
I didn't hear that.
Well, why? Because he would just sit here for 3 years?
He was going to sit next year anyway. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't know how he'd be a disaster.
He was going to sit. He's going to sit behind Kyler Murray this year. I mean,
he would be the best quarterback in this draft class.
And all three teams are thinking the same thing. We have an old quarterback in upper 30s, or in the Patriots' case, low 40s. We need a guy to groom with no pressure. Guy who's obviously talented, or he was in college anyway. I mean,
Another case of you've heard almost every big name, and Antonio Brown. You heard that videotape or that audio tape that came out where he was talking to Drew Rosenhaus, and he said, "Yeah, the Patriots are in on it." I guarantee you, the Patriots with every name are going, "All right, well, we'll give you garbage for it if you're willing to trade him."
Well, they apparently were in on all the receivers.
Yeah.
Antonio
Brown.
They were in on Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm. But in on is different than just for the hell of it, calling him and saying, "We'll give you this bag of hammers for him if you'll give him to us."
No, but they inquired.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
I think this is another one of those situations. And by the way, I don't think they would give Rosen up for a second round pick.
Well, you're not going to get anyone of that quality. You might never get one for a second round
pick. It is time. I mean, it's time. You can't guarantee on Brady being here another three or four seasons. It's time.
No,
you can't. There's only so much Brian Hoyer nonsense I'm willing to deal with. It's time. Get a guy. You had the guy. Brady outplayed him. Everyone thought Brady was going to be done by the time he was 38 or 39. The plan was in place. Garoppolo, I still think, is going to be good out in San Francisco. It didn't work because Brady outplayed everyone's expectations. But now we're in rarefied air, and you can't expect Brady to be 44 and awesome. Get Josh Rosen. Spend the second-round pick. You know, I'd think about giving that last pick in the first round, too. I mean, just you need a guy. He's your guy. He's going to be better than any other option you have this year or next year.
And it's not like you're going to get a high pick.
That's my point. You're not going to get an impact quarterback again.
And plus, it's the Sammy D era.
Right.
Starting at about, let's just put it at 2020.
And you're replacing one matinee idol with another.
Exactly.
Yes, Josh Rosen is right. Big with the Pelicans.
Big with the Pelicans.
Yes, he's the Greg Gonzo. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We'll talk to Danny Ainge coming up at 9 o'clock. Dan Roach after that. Now, Johnny Wallgame, you excited it's opening day?
Yes, I am. I'm very excited it's opening day. Love opening day.
All right. Well, Mike Lockhart had an idea. Since you were Captain Baseball.
Yes.
Name the starting pitchers. The starting pitchers opening day. Big deal.
Yes.
Honor. Mets Nationals.
DeGrom against Scherzer, I would guess.
Orioles Yankees.
Oh, the Orioles, I have absolutely no idea. And the Yankees, it's not Severino. James Paxton.
No, you got both of those wrong.
Who's starting for the Yankees?
Tanaka.
Okay.
Cardinals Brewers.
Cardinals is Miles Mikolas. Brewers... Who knows? Jimmy Nelson, maybe?
Nope.
Okay. Who did I get the Cardinals one right?
Yes.
Okay.
Braves, Phillies.
Braves is Teron against... who is the Phillies ace? Aaron Nola.
Correct. Tigers, Blue Jays.
Tigers, I have no idea.
He's good.
Is it? It's not Zimmerman, is it?
It is.
It is Jordan Zimmerman? And the Blue Jays... No, I had no idea who their ace is.
Astros Rays, you should know this.
Astros Rays. It's not Garrett Cole. It's Verlander against Snell.
Cubs Rangers.
Cubs. The Cubs have like five number two pitchers. Is it Lester?
Yes.
For the Cubs?
Yes.
And who are they playing?
They're playing
Rangers.
The Rangers.
Texas. No idea. The Texas Rangers starters. No idea. Who is it?
It's Wallach. Angels Athletics.
Andrew Heaney against... I have Mike Fiers.
Mike Fiers is correct, but that's their second game. Pirates Reds.
I don't know. I don't know who the number one starters are for those two teams. I really don't.
Rockies Marlins.
Rockies Marlins. It's either Marquez or Freeland for the Rockies.
Make a decision.
And the Marlins is Jose Urena. I'll go with Freeland for the Rockies.
All right, Indians Twins.
Indians is Kluber, and the Twins, I don't know.
All right, not good.
It is Kluber, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's easy. Giants-Padres.
Madison Bumgarner against Joey Lucchese. Okay. Who's San Diego?
Wallach.
who is it?
I'm not telling you.
Why?
D-backs, Dodgers.
I got it wrong. What difference does it make?
Come on. D-backs, Dodgers.
D-backs is Greinke, Dodgers. It was supposed to be Kershaw, but he's out. So, Rich Hill.
No. Nope.
Okay.
White Sox Royals.
White Sox Rondon against the Royals, you said? I don't know who the Royals starter is.
Red Sox Mariners.
Chris Sale against Marco Gonzalez.
All right.
By the way, I was thinking about it when we talked about this, when Mike Trout got his massive contract. I was even asking Dan Shaughnessy about this. I said, if you had Mike Trout and Sidney Crosby sitting in a random Starbucks in the middle of Montana, who gets recognized first?
Crosby. Easily.
Like and everyone
easily Crosby.
Everyone
easily
rips on the Crosby. NHL like, the as first, being like you could, the bottom
the first
of the barrel.
2,000 people to come in would pick out Crosby before Trout.
How long till Mike Trout gets recognized?
He's big is the only thing. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Guess who was staying at the resort I was at? Man by the name of Shaq Mason.
Really?
Oh, very nice.
Yep. Didn't see him.
Oh, you didn't just say it was just whispers?
Well, people got curious when there was like a 5,000-pound man walking around.
That's a big dude.
Raises a little curiosity.
Pardon me, sir. You an athlete?
He's like 6'1", like 500 pounds. Raise some eyebrows. Well, Walk, I'm proud of you.
I got some. See, didn't get others.
How many fantasy baseball leagues this year?
One.
Just one?
Just one.
Ooh. At the height of your baseball fandom, how many?
Only two. I'm not. Roach does like five or six. Most I've ever done in one season is two.
What an exhausting task, fantasy baseball.
Exactly. I found that out quick. I won the draft this Saturday.
I don't even think
Saturday.
Yep.
Well, where is it?
Here.
Ooh.
Downstairs.
Actually physically here?
Physically here.
It's going to be like a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
8 a.m. 8 a.m. Saturday
on
morning.
On a Saturday morning?
Yes.
Who's
here?
Who's going? Who's part of it?
Marshall Hook's part of it.
Okay. Well,
you know the Hook's going to be there.
Hook will be here, yes.
He lives in a closet downstairs.
Whoa. I'm being told a lot of things. Okay, so 8 a.m. here at the station. What a fun group you are.
Yes.
How long is it?
6-7 hours.
Oh my God, dude.
Easily.
Why?
Easily 6-7 hours.
See, I've heard 8 hours.
Why not an online draft?
We've streamlined the process. It's an auction draft.
Can't you do that online?
No, not that I'm aware of. I've never seen it done, an auction draft done online.
Okay.
There might be a way to do it, but I've never seen it.
All right, so how many people?
Mike says you can do it, by the way.
Can you? Okay. Then that would be a smarter way to go.
Oh, you get the bros together. Now, do you just get soda from, is it in the kitchen?
Yes, I believe it is.
Saturday's like the nicest day of the
week. Or is that in the conference room right next to the kitchen?
All right, so like, what is it? Just like, you're going to get sodas and like.
Yeah, that's right. No beer, just sodas.
You're going to get some pizza pies?
Sure.
What do we have on the air Saturday morning? Because whatever it is, we just need to mic up the walk draft.
Yeah, I mean, I would have at least a correspondent downstairs.
Sure. Just checking it every once in a while.
Who all is in this draft?
No one you know. Marshall and I are the only two people that you know.
So you're making them all come down to Dorchester?
I'm not making them do anything. I didn't organize this at all. The place we usually go to, and you know this because it's way up on the North Shore, just south of the New Hampshire border, but apparently the place we had booked was double booked and we couldn't go there, so Marshall volunteered this building for the draft.
I mean, the people that double booked, they didn't double book, they just didn't want you there.
That could be.
And I'll tell you why, 8 hours of nerds ordering Coca-Colas.
Yep.
And just that bill never getting higher.
That's correct.
Why did you go all the way up to New Hampshire?
That's where the commissioner had it. I have no idea why ultimately we did that.
Does the commissioner wear like a crown? I mean, he seems to have a lot of power.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does.
You have to go to work in Dorchester on a Saturday morning.
I did not organize this. This was not my idea.
Does it piss you off that you're not the commissioner?
No.
I mean, after all, you're kind of a famous guy.
No, it does not piss me off. I'm not the commissioner. I have enough to do in my life. I really don't need to be commissioner.
Obviously. I mean, if you're here at 8 in the morning on a Saturday.
That's right. Good point.
So if it's 8 hours and you get here at 8 in the morning, mm-hmm. you'll be out of here at 4.
I think it's closer to 6. I mean, they've streamlined the process. I should be out of here by 2:30.
Okay.
And then... The money man is in Foxwoods on Saturday night. I may go.
Now, did Bird put someone on hold and then just leave the room before you could put the information in?
I don't know.
Oh, the call screen is down.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, let's not waste any more time. John, Louie, my friend. All right. Danny Ainge is going to join us. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge. Mr. Ainge?
Good morning.
Have you ever paddleboarded?
Welcome home, Fred.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure you miss me a great deal.
Yeah. I don't know who gets a month off of vacation.
I've listened. It's 5 weeks. All right. So, have you ever paddleboarded?
I have.
Now, did you vomit and have to be towed in by the instructor?
I did not.
Because that happened to me.
Oh, Fred, he's such an athlete.
I've done it a bunch of times, but for some reason the pressure got to me, and I swallowed so much salt water that I started vomiting uncontrollably, and then the instructor had to pull me in while the others waited.
Oh, Fred.
That didn't happen to you?
When they brought you in, did they drug test you?
I was clean. I wasn't even hungover. I was clean.
It was a visual drug test, and they just went, yup.
I think they gave me a faulty board. But that's, well, be careful, because it could happen to you, too. And I'll tell you what, it's not very manly laying there vomiting while someone pulls you in.
That's bad.
Yeah. Okay, not the best. All right. So, Danny, we've heard Kyrie Irving talk about how, you know, once the playoffs start, the flip is switched and all that. However, they are now looking at a game that's very important. This game on Friday, or tomorrow, rather, against the Pacers, now, at least for the time being, determines who's in fourth and who has a home court advantage during that first round. Would you be disappointed if this team shows up on Friday and they put in the type of performance that we might have been seeing over the last week or so, where it does seem like they've taken their foot off the gas a little bit in order to save energy for the playoffs?
Well, so first of all, you know, I don't really believe that you can flip a switch. But I do believe that, you know, things can come together, you know, your health and your concentration and focus can be better. I mean, Philly is a very, very good basketball team, and we went in there and had a lead late in the fourth quarter, and we just weren't able to pull it off. We lost a one possession game, and then we had an 18-point lead through 40 minutes of the game. It went into a drought where we couldn't score. And, you know, I don't consider it flipping a switch. Like, there's a lot of really good basketball being played. We just have moments where we have struggled and we've lost leads. And, you know, I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying our guys have done some really good things in spite of being, you know, in the Philly game, we were three of our key guys weren't playing. I'm excited right now because our team is getting healthy. We haven't had Baines and Horford, you know, in the lineup very much this year. I'm excited about where we could be in playoffs, and not just this game Friday. I think it'd be a fun game on Friday night, but I think that we have seven fun games to finish the season.
Speaking of Baines and Horford, how did you like the combo of them together the other night?
So I think, you know, Aaron's not quite 100%, and he's a little bit off just because he hasn't played a lot this year, and especially lately he's had some injuries. But I'm excited about it. I think that they stabilize our defense. You know, they're not going to play a ton of minutes together, but they're going to play some, and I think that helps set an identity and set a tone for our team.
Danny, I would think as a director of basketball operations, and even this goes down to Brad Stevens as the head coach, the number one thing you would want from your team night in and night out is to know what you're going to get from your players each and every evening. But unfortunately, the one thing that's been consistent about your team has been inconsistency. Is there a level of frustration that it's come to this with the playoffs right around the corner?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an up and down year. No doubt about that. But like I said, I really am optimistic. I know that people just think that that's just a corny line or I have to be, but I don't have to be. And I'm excited about the playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. And I think we're healthier right now, knock on wood, than we have been all season long.
You were talking to Mike Gorman yesterday, and you know, Terry Rozier did like a sit down thing with Chris Forsberg, and he was saying that the team essentially follows the attitude of Kyrie Irving. They look to him, and if he's feeling good, the team usually plays well. And it got us talking about, you know, who is the, even though there's no captains and Brad Stevens has chosen not to have a captain, like, who is the personality on this team that everyone should kind of model themselves after? And Mike Gorman thought it should be Marcus Smart, because despite him doing dumb stuff every once in a while, as we've talked about with the pushing of, you know, Joel Embiid and punching the glass and everything, you never question this guy's heart. Do you believe that maybe giving someone like him, just naming him captain, that might actually help the cohesiveness of this team?
No, I don't think there needs to be named captain. Marcus is a leader of our team, and he has influence, and he inspires our guys by the way he plays at times. And so nobody needs to be named captain. I think that we have a lot of guys in the locker room that have influence and impact on our team and inspire one another. So, you know, Horford is a leader, and Marcus is a leader, and Rozier is a leader, and we have a whole bunch of them. Kyrie, of course, and I'm not worried about any of that. Our guys know they know each other by now, and consistency, some of it can be credited to just playing different types of roles, and the nature of the game. I mean, it's just, if you have the ball a lot, like Jason Tatum scores 21 points in the first half the other night, and then they make an adjustment. They start giving him a lot more attention, and Marcus Smart, now Horford, carries in the second half. And that's the kind of team we need to be, where we just need to rely on a lot of different guys.
Danny, you guys have unfortunately let a late lead get away in Charlotte and lost recently. And after the game, Kyrie Irving, because Kemba Walker had such a big game, they asked him about how Kemba went off in the fourth quarter. And he said, quote, "We probably should have trapped him a little bit more like every team does in this league, but we didn't. Torches us every time we play him, so it's no surprise." It seemed like he was calling out the head coach there. Did you hear those comments, and what are your feelings about them?
I did hear it, and I'm not, I mean, not that uncommon. Guys get frustrated, and maybe that was the first thing that came to his mind, is we should have done something different with Kemba. But Kemba, I think, hit three threes in transition. We didn't do a good job of stopping them in transition. We have defended Kemba pretty well this year after the first game of the season and up through that game. So for 2.5 games, we had done a good job with the defensive plan that we had. And then he scored they were switching. They were seeking out matchups. And Kemba had, I think, 7 points in that fourth quarter that, you know, maybe a different strategy. But the bottom line is we scored 5 points in the last 8 minutes and 20 seconds. You know, that's not like our team at all. Like, I think that, I mean, if we score 10 points, we win that game. And, you know, we should score 20 points with the 8.5 minutes left in that game. So, anyway, I don't think that has anything to do with anything other than a player's frustration.
All right, so you're watching the tournament, I would take it?
Yeah, it's been fun.
All right, who do you like?
Well, I mean, Duke is the best team. Gonzaga is a very talented team, but it's been fun. I mean, obviously Duke just got away with the skin of their teeth the other day. That was very fortunate, and that's what makes college tournament so fun.
I don't care for their fans. I was there in Turks and Caicos, and I was watching it on TV,
And I was expressing my belief that Zion Williamson will not be anything overly special as a pro. And then I had a guy, I said to him, you know, I'm trying to have a spirited conversation. There's a lot of people at the bar. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, buddy, did you go to Duke? And he goes, I'm not your buddy. He goes, nobody likes a hater. Do you think that's necessary, Danny, that kind of dialogue while you're on vacation?
No, that's a little over the top. That's a little bit too intense. We need to relax. It's fun. It's basketball. But what I want to know is Rich's Michigan State team, how are they going to do?
It's Fred's.
My team's Georgia Tech, and they're nowhere to be found.
Yes, I'm a Michigan State guy.
You are the Okay, so you're Michigan State guy, and Michigan State, I'm a little worried about them.
I'm a little worried about them, too. I'm worried about them against LSU. I think LSU could beat Duke. So I very very long, very athletic LSU. I don't like that matchup. Michigan State very banged up.
I don't think they can. I don't think LSU can. But Michigan State is. I'm just worried about all their injuries.
Yep, they lost Langford.
They've had an amazing year though.
Hey, okay, I'll ask you this: what did you? Because I don't know if this generated any press here, but what did you think of Izzo yelling at Henry?
That's just who Izzo is. Izzo is, listen, there's different ways that coaches hold accountability. And you see a Tony Bennett, who's a calm, mild-mannered demeanor guy who holds his players accountable in a much different way than Izzo. Izzo's very passionate, wears it on his sleeve. I love Izzo. He's fun to watch. His players love him. And the players that have all played for him have nothing but the greatest things to say, and they have great relationships. So I have absolutely no problem with it.
I didn't like the narrative that he was, like, lunging at Henry and that he had to be restrained. It seemed like he was angry and that Cassius Winston, being a leader, was able to put his hand on his shoulder and, like, calm down, sit down, like you're losing your mind. See, I looked at it as kind of a positive, and maybe because I'm rose-colored glasses, but it seemed to me that it's like a counter message. Like, he's not attacking a kid. I think that he gives, the guy he's talking to is a freshman. I thought that letting and I can't remember the other guy's name, but letting a senior in Cassius Winston kind of calm him down shows that the players have the respect of Izzo.
No doubt. I liked that scene. I thought it was, it was good basketball at its best. And I love the intensity of Izzo. And I think that spreads throughout his program every year. And that's why his teams are tough-minded teams that usually rise to the occasion in the big games.
Do you think players are too coddled now? I mean, when you hear complaints like that, like how can you rip into a player in the middle of a game? He's just a kid. Do you think that there's some players who come into the NBA and they're just not ready for the intensity?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I think there's a lot of players that come into the NBA and they don't know how hard it is. They watch it on TV and they think, I can do that. And then they get to the NBA, and boy, these players are way better than they ever imagined. There's no doubt about that. They don't know how hard it is to be great, and how good players are that you don't even know about. Players that are in the G League, and players that get called up on 10-day contracts. They have no idea. These are former first ballot Hall of Famers. I mean, first ballot or first round draft picks.
Right.
And college All-Americans. So, yeah, no, it's, that's why young guys are inconsistent usually.
Well, we did that thing with Scalabrine, the Scallenge, where when we would have him on, and obviously he was great on the air, we'd have people call in and say, oh, Scal sucks. He's the last guy on the bench. And we asked him, hey, would you want to play these guys one-on-one, to see how you do? And he just murdered the four people that volunteered. They were like guys who were stars in their small colleges.
There was a guy who played at Syracuse.
His guy who played at Syracuse. There was like the kings of their rec league, and he just murdered them. And I don't think people understand the last guy on the bench in the NBA, that guy's guarding Kevin Garnett at practice every day. I mean, the guy is pretty damn good to get to the point where he's at.
This guy was a terrific player in the NBA. I saw Scal have 29-12 against Troy Murphy, who was making a ton of money in the NBA one night. He had a chance to start in place of Kenyon Martin. You know, we went on a 9-2, I think, winning streak with Scal replace KG and after injury. I mean, Scal was a terrific player. He really knows how to play. Very underrated. That's what I mean. A lot of college kids, and I know fans, but the college kids that are coming into the game have no idea how good the players are at the end of the bench.
Lunch pail guy, too, right? Showed up, worked hard.
He still does.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
He's still working out twice a day like a moron.
No, three times a day, Mike Gorman told me. Scal works out 3 times a day.
He's got obviously a hole in his life.
Dude, you're a broadcaster. Get fat.
Yeah.
Scal has a tough life.
Very lonely, obviously. Yeah. All the time. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, thank you so much. It's interesting your take on Izzo. I found the... I mean, there's people that want him fired, and
yeah, that was crazy. I mean, they love him. The players love him, so who cares?
I mean, he yelled. It's just ridiculous. Drew McGarry wrote an article that made me want to throw up. All right, Danny Ainge, watch out on those paddle boards. They'll make you throw up.
All right, take care of yourself. All right. See you guys.
There you go. Yeah, Drew McGarry wrote it. It's not cool. And then he compared it to yelling at your children. Like, it's never a good idea to yell at your children.
What?
Look, if you don't want to play for Izzo, don't play for him.
But they all want to play for him. I mean, how many 4-year guys do you get out of that program?
Yeah, I mean, it's
they want to stick around. They want to play for him. And you know what? He didn't have a problem with it either.
I don't get how it's bullying. Like, the term bullying is thrown around so much. I mean, he was lunging at him. No, I was watching it live. He wasn't, and this isn't rose-colored glasses. He was not lunging at him. He got up, and Cassius Winston and the McQuaid, I think is his name, I can't remember. They put his hands on him, and he sat down. But I like McGarry too. But oh boy, with that article, it's like yelling at your kids, and yeah. Then in the comments, people were comparing it to all kind. Oh, it's the reason that the country's the way it is now, and it's so divided, is because this kind of behavior is accepted. Relax. Coach, listen, it's not Bobby Knight throwing the dirty toilet paper at kids.
Sure.
All right.
By the way, we got Dan Roach coming.
Yeah, all right. Let's not waste any more time. Danny Roach is out there in Seattle where he has not been sleeping. He is indeed sleepless in Seattle, except now he's just communicating with a baseball instead of someone on the internet. All right. We'll have that for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge. Mr. Ainge?
Good morning.
Have you ever paddleboarded?
Welcome home, Fred.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure you miss me a great deal.
Yeah. I don't know who gets a month off of vacation.
Listen, it's 5 weeks. All right. So, have you ever paddleboarded?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.